Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 114 of Constructive Criticism. I'm your host, just like every week, Spencer, and I'm joined by my co-host, just like every week, Manny Moraes.
Every week. Hey, guys.
Manny, so what is this that I hear about you choking a guy out on the tetherball court with the tetherball rope?
That never happened.
Dude, you can't do stuff like that.
What? I never did that. That's not true.
You didn't do that.
Okay. Man, I thought you were about to bring up like a super dark chapter of my childhood that I forgot.
How's it going, Manny?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, how'd you feel about your first CCMTG podcast meeting?
Wonderful. It was positive, full of excitement. We have exciting things to come for everybody. We'll talk about that a little later. And the future episodes and training grounds we have planned out are, I think, really, really great. Phenomenal.
I'm really excited about the future of the show, too. Well, let's go into who brings you the show. That's Oasis Games. You can check them out at oasisgamesslc.com. You can get 15% off your first order by using the code CCMTG at checkout. Oasis is a great place to buy Magic cards, dude. 15% off of Oasis Games is like basically getting your cards for free, really.
Absolutely.
Not really, like, but it is a really good discount.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I mean, with the competitive pricing that Oasis already has with 15% off, it's like you're getting them almost at TCG low.
I mean, lower than that at 15% off.
True.
At 15% off, you're like below TCG low.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
For
yeah.
near mint cards.
Right.
So, but yeah, you can also, if you've already shopped at Oasis Games, they still give you a discount. You can use the code WouldThatBeGood, no spaces at checkout. You have 5% off of every order. So it's a pretty good deal. Check them out. But don't listen to us. Listen to our fans. So do you want to read this one?
Sure, yeah. So Jason A. says, he posted this to our Facebook group, which you guys can join at any time.
He actually, this one was non-prompted. This was just him posting
it. Yeah, that's what drew me to it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. It's like completely like unforced testimonial. Just Jason A. talking about how he feels about Oasis. Okay. Oasis Games FTW again. Ordered some
random... For those who don't know, that means for the win.
Right. Ordered some random commander stuff and Monastery Mentors on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and already got them in the mail today. Always outstanding. And by the way, that was on, I believe, the following Monday, for reference.
Yeah, I mean, he just got his cards like in a very timely manner that he appreciated during Thanksgiving weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
you can expect that all year round.
Every day. Every day.
Yeah, Dave Farnham. While, you know, a big jerk-faced jerk is really, really good at his job.
What?
Yeah.
He listens to this podcast.
I know. This is straight to him. You know what you did, Dave. You know.
Don't forget that you can become a supporter of the podcast directly just by going to our Patreon page at patreon.com/CCMTG. That'll be in the show notes if you're looking to join up and help us out. You know, anything that you guys can do is really appreciated. So no new joins this week, but anytime that you join, don't forget that we'll give you your credit because it means a lot to us. But let's move on to just like the bulk of the show, man. Let's start with hashtag always improving like we do every week. So every week we talk about how we improved at Magic this week, what we did to get better. Just kind of going around and like pushing what we preach on the show, like putting our money where our mouth is. So like...
Absolutely. I wouldn't feel right about talking about something that I didn't feel entirely, you know, that I would support myself and in my life.
Yeah. So with that being said, how did you get better at Magic this week?
This week, I've just been jamming Modern. I've been jamming Modern so hard. I know Modern season is next summer, but I definitely feel, or last Modern season, I felt that it was my weakest part of my Magic game. I was kind of... not completely comfortable with the format, not completely comfortable with interactions, and I'm making sure that this time, you know, or that time next year, that is not going to happen.
You know, I saw that you posted that you were functioning the same as a 3-year-old at Magic the Gathering, so...
Yeah, that was you. It was good, yeah.
What? I didn't do that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's good. So, like, what decks have you been playing?
I've been playing the green-red aggro deck a lot. I've been testing out other decks here and there, but it is so good. It is, like, I keep...
Did you make the Dismember change, or did you keep it the same?
No, not yet. So far, I've been playing the Stock 75 that took second place at that IQ, and it's been money. It's been fire. So
do you still want to make the change to Dismember with some of the cards, like maybe Mutagenic Growth or
Advice? I think I do. I think that'd be... Yeah, I mean, I definitely would consider it. I think one change out of the main board isn't super huge, and I'll just continue to play that list until I absolutely feel that that change is necessary.
Sure.
But I'm definitely toying with that idea.
So for me, I became an FNM co-champion this week.
How does that happen?
You just split in the finals. And...
Mm-hmm. Sure, who'd you split with?
Well, Michael. Michael. I don't remember Michael's last name. He's a very nice young man, though. Very upstanding gentleman.
Oh, sure, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Michael's, like, super nice guy. He was playing a very cool deck, and I was, like, half asleep while we were playing. Like, we split, and then he wanted to play some games, and he wanted to talk about his sideboard after. And I felt really bad, because, like, for those who don't know, I work at, you know, I get up for work at 5:30 in the morning every day. So, like, when we're at, like, 10 p.m., like, at a Magic tournament.
You feel like you've been awake for days.
I do, and I'm just not a human being. And so, you know, he was like, he asked to play some games, and I played game one with him. And I was like, dude, I am like, I can't sideboard. We're lucky. I probably could. If we had been playing a real match, I would have, like, played.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably wouldn't have felt it. But the second that they were, like, the quote-unquote pressure was off from the FNM, it was like, wow, I am tired. But, I played some FNM. I love it. I love playing FNM. I don't get to do it a lot, so it was pretty cool that my wife let me do it this week. And I played some Esper Dragons. Esper Durgans, as I call it. I love Durgans. And it was fun. I did everything I could to get out of my comfort zone this week. I just want to play different decks right now in the standard format. I think it's really sweet. I've been playing a lot of Siege Rhinos and a lot of Savage Knuckleblades, and I just wanted to cast blue spells. I said on the podcast last week, like...
That's right.
I just wanted to cast counter spells. Played a lot
No, you said you wanted to cast counter spell.
That's true. I did that a lot. But yeah, it was really fun. I had a lot of fun. Although Austin Geltz was playing... Or Geltz, sorry. Austin.
Is it Geltz? I thought...
It is Geltz. He doesn't correct people when they call him the wrong name. So Austin Geltz was playing my teamer deck, and I was playing Wes Singleton's Esper Dragon's deck, and he was playing Austin's Esper deck, just regular Esper. And in the last round, he was playing against Wes, and I like got a silver his shoulder. And there's nothing I love more than playing a mid range deck against a control deck. So I got to watch him play against Wes, and it was fantastic. I was like, man, why do I ever play anything but Savage Knuckleblade? Like, just watching him, I was, like, salivating.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, I was like, my deck is so sweet. But, no, it was pretty good. Like, it was a great experience to, like, get out of my comfort zone in, like, a tournament setting. Because I play, like, a lot of control, like, on Cockatrice, or, like, I'll log on to Quentin's account and, like, play in some, like, practice games. Yeah. Haven't done that in a while, but... Like, I'll just go play some practice games on Modo with whatever controller Quentin has built. And it was nice to just, like, play it in a tournament. I went into that tournament really wanting to play, like, a major network deck, hoping that, like, I could switch with Austin and he'd have a sweet list. But Austin's list is built very specifically for him, so I didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah, it is. It's a different animal.
Yeah, so I just didn't feel comfortable. Like, not that his list is bad or worse than any other list. It was just like...
That man just loves the grindiest games he can find.
And that's fine. Like, yeah. And that's, like, the point at Magic where he becomes successful. That's totally fine. It's just, like, wasn't where I wanted to be. But I did. I got to play some, like, very different games of Magic and, like, explore very different games, states, and, like... how to play different games. And I played really well, and I was really happy. So, yeah. So that's how I improved, just playing different decks. So, no Patreon question this week, which is fine. But for those who are patrons, like, if you have any questions, don't forget that there is a hashtag always improving thread where during our hashtag always improvement segment, you can ask a question that we can answer fully on the podcast. We did get a question from somebody on the Facebook group, though, that kind of fits into this time slot. So I thought we'd talk about it.
Great.
So we have a question from Robert B. who says, so I've been taking MTG more seriously since Battle for Zendikar creating mail. By serious, I mean attending FNM, listening to podcasts, reading articles, and playing on MTG throughout the week. I'm a smart guy, or at least I think I am, or thought I was, but when it comes to Magic, I feel like a moron. I'm constantly keeping a bad hands, making bad plays, walking right into combat tricks. I read some good articles that have gotten advice about playing around certain cards, but I feel like most of the information is narrow and focused on beating the top decks in any given metagame. What are some general tips regarding, like, regardless of format or metagame? I know the podcast focuses a lot on RBDQs and PPDQs, but right now I just want to put up a winning record at my FNM. So any advice that you can give, to at this level of competition would be helpful. So we have a lot of listeners who, through this podcast, have won game days, borrowed their first FNM, things like that. They've used this podcast to do exactly what you're talking about. So for us, it's easy for us in our scope to talk about RPTQs, PPTQs, because that's what Manny and I are doing. That's what Casey was doing. That's what Matt was doing. That's what Quentin and I talking about Pro Tours. That's where we were playing Magic. But all the things that we're learning apply to you at the FNM level. Now, if you're not at the level where these things become easy to you, it can be a lot easier to not understand what's being talked about. But that doesn't make you a moron like you posted in here. That just means that, like, you're at a different step on the stairs. And you just have to, like, lift up your foot and get to the next step. That's not a problem.
Not at all. And what I wanted to interject, here real quick. I think the biggest thing is, since you've only really been playing Magic seriously since BFZ, is that's such a short amount of time. And Magic is like anything else. Like, if you think about your body, your muscles, you know, any games you may play, you don't get great or amazing at that overnight unless you're some kind of, you know, prodigy. So with that, like, just playing games, playing with better players, you're going to, every time you get tricked into a combat trick, you're going to learn, you're going to expect those things, you're going to be able to see them. Every game you play is going to make you a game better.
Yeah. So I asked you a few questions, and I'll for the listeners who aren't in the Facebook group, I'll explain what I asked. I said, who do you play Magic with? When do you realize that you've kept the ban hand? About what time? Does your local meta not reflect the current metagame? And what is the first thing you do after you notice you made a misplay? And he gave some pretty good answers. And one of them is that he doesn't play Magic with a specific group of people. He just plays at his local store, which happens to be in Utah. I didn't know this was a local player. He was playing Game Grid Layton in Utah. And then one of the things he said, he said his meta is split into two categories. Top tier players playing the decks of the current meta, and the bottom tier players playing decks over, like, all over the place. He says he usually tries to keep as many 7-card hands as possible, and that he notices he plays his cards out of order, or he'll forget his creature has ability that he can use rather than instant. So there's a lot of things to think about here, and I'd like to explain why I asked you each of these questions. So the first one is, who do you play Magic with has, in my opinion, changed my Magic life. It actually just changed my life.
Yeah, I mean...
In all honesty.
I didn't even think about, you know, PTQs. At the time, there were PTQs until I started hanging out with, like, you and Casey and various other players.
Yeah, so it changed my life in a few ways. And it doesn't have to change your life as drastically as it changed mine. But I encourage you that if you don't have a select group of players with, like, go up to some of the players that play Magic at Game Grid Layton that are, like, winning tournaments and just be like, hey, I see that you, like, win FNM a lot. Do you mind, like, do you drafts on any certain day, like, that I could come over and I could draft with you guys? Or, like, do you ever play test? Like, I'd love to get in on that. And if they say no, they say no. But, like, I know the Game Grid guys, they're probably going to say yes. They're, like, really cool guys.
Yeah.
And even that, like, even if they say no, like, surrounding yourself with people, like, interjecting yourself into a group, is going to be really helpful for you. And it can be really hard for a lot of people. So, like, don't feel like you have to do this. Let's say you don't want to do this. Let's say that that's not the route you want to go. And you're like, no, I'd rather just, like, play on Modo or, like, play by myself. My encouragement to you, if that's the route you want to go, is something that Quentin did. And that's whenever he made a misplay or whenever he had a decision he wasn't sure that was the right decision, he would write it down in a notebook while he was playing Modo. And then he would, at the end of the week, review those decisions and think about them and, like, write out his thoughts. And it really helped him remember the things that he had learned, because he was learning them twice, right? He was writing them down while they happened and then thinking about them again and then writing out his conclusions. So that's one way that you can approach that. But my major encouragement to you would be to reach out to somebody around you that you can play more Magic with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you talk, there's most likely, you know, a few guys there who are always going 4-0. And really, you just got to sit down with them and be like, hey, like, you did really great. How did you do that? Or what am I doing wrong? Or do you mind watching, you know, a match of Magic that I play real quick and give me some pointers?
Yeah, I think
more often than not, good players are always willing to help players who are not as good get as good as them.
Yeah, I think that, like, building local teams, quote unquote, is, like, a really good thing. I know, like, the players in, like, the Provo Orium area have gotten together in Utah, and they've all gotten a lot better at Magic. I know, like, Pete and Adam Swenson, for example. I think Adam, by surrounding himself with people like Pete and Justin and like hanging out with those guys, I think Adam has gotten way better at Magic. Like, way, way better. And that is by because two minds are just better than one. It's like a hive effect. Like, yeah. You're just going to get better at Magic by doing that. And then the last thing is, you said you notice that you play your cards out of order, you forget the creature abilities. It's possible that you just need to, like, slow down. If you don't find yourself going to time, and you see, like, the clock is finishing with, like, 15 minutes, this means you have a lot of time that you're not utilizing, that you could utilize. And then, eventually, by the time you start utilizing that time and thinking more, eventually your brain will develop shortcuts for you. And that's what's missing right now for you, is that your brain, as somebody who just started playing FNM, your brain hasn't created the shortcuts that you can easily identify things that are going on, like your opponent having a certain combat trick by leaving up certain mana or things like that. So you need to spend more time, whether it's through practice or taking longer and a little longer in matches. I'm not saying to slow play, like just take a little longer for your decisions and then maybe reflect on them. Reflecting, talking to people about them, whether you're going to go playtest with the people that are going 4-0, it's really helpful to like just go up to those people and like, hey, I had this decision in a game. Do you want to talk about it? They're going to say yes. People love talking about Magic. And you're going to gain their insight. Whether you agree with it or not, you're going to gain something by talking to them. And it's going to help you a lot.
And, I mean, even then, professional players will stop, evaluate the board state, take some time, and make what they believe is the correct decision at the time. Slowing down your play to make correct decisions is never, ever going to be wrong. For me personally, I have a terrible problem with playing too quickly. When my opponent starts playing quickly, I'll try and match their tempo. And whenever I do that, it really just gives me less time to figure out a situation.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that like that you can do, and surrounding yourself with greatness. And one of the things that I don't know that like anyone really talked about before constructed criticism, that Casey and I like believe in pretty strongly, was there was an episode that we did pretty early in the podcast that kind of defined what this podcast is about, and that's talking about the management of your resources. So the longer you play Magic and the better you get at that aspect, and that's managing, micromanaging small amounts of resources that you have in the game, you'll develop shortcuts for doing those things. An example of this, to throw Manny under the bus, and that's why I love having him on the podcast, is Manny's really bad at tapping his mana, and he really underutilizes that resource. But Manny notices this, and when he does, you know, he smacks himself in the face and like talks about how stupid he is
every time.
it's funny that like this is the path that Manny's chosen, because it's funny to talk about, but also like Manny knows that it's something he needs to improve on, and that's a resource that he's wasting. And so when Manny makes the mental decision to improve upon it, eventually his brain will develop the shortcuts he needs to just know, like, instead of just like willy-nilly tapping these lands, like, I should like look at my hand, think about what I could have that's not in my hand, and then make those decisions. And eventually, like, he'll know the format well enough to know what lands he should be leaving up to optimize what his opponent thinks he has to play around.
Yeah, exactly. And oftentimes when you do make little mistakes like that, they come back to bite you in the butt so hard later in the game, where you go, yeah, I can trace it all back to that decision where I didn't see everything that I was supposed to.
Yeah. So, also, I did post in this the level 1 archive of Reed Duke that he posted to the Wizards website. It's just a list of articles that are basically just about getting better at Magic. So I would recommend that, like, you know, once a week, you know, pick a night of the week before you go to bed every week where you just read one of these articles. They'll be really helpful for you, and you'll learn a lot just by going through the entire catalog. So, yeah, try it out. I mean, I wish that I could tell you just go back and listen to the history of CCMTG, but it's just not available right now. Because, like, when I look back on, like, old episodes of CCMTG, we have, like, Managing Your Resources episode 7, Keeping an Open Mind episode 9, Playtesting 10. We actually got a request to do playtesting, and, like, we've actually done 3 playtesting episodes. But well, they're just not available right now for people.
And also, we're not trying to tell Robert to play, you know, or to listen to 200 hours of
A lot of people do, though.
I mean, I did. I like kept up with it early on, but that was like, if you were to ask me to go back and do it now, I would tell you no way.
I mean, I do it all the time. When I find a podcast that I love, I do it. So. Sure. But yeah, I mean, I wish that I could tell you, like, go back and listen to the archive, but it's just not available to you right now. But a lot of the things, like, that Reed Duke talks about in this article series, for example, his Becoming a Better Player article on September 28th, 2015, specifically talks about, like, five of our training grounds. So that's, I mean, asking why, that's episode Having Your Reason, doing your research, that's, like, playtesting, other players, surrounding yourself with greatness.
Attitude.
I mean, there's so many things that he talks about that just, like, give a snapshot of what we talked about on this podcast that, I'll just send this to you right now. I'll upload it in the show notes or something. But, yeah, so a lot you can do. If you have any questions further than this, Robert, just let us know. I hope that this little 10-minute, 15-minute segment that we took helped you out, man. What's next, man?
Big announcement.
Big announcements. Oh, yeah. So no Mega Ranks episode this week. So there's a few things. So I'm just going to read what I wrote. We want to give all formats the justice they deserve. And I do feel like we can't combine these shows into Mega Rankings anymore with the way that we want to do them. So I need to come up with a way that gives each format their time in the sun. We'll likely start spreading out the Mega Rankings episode and possibly making them better by finding guests who are passionate about each format.
And this is a really great thing, because I mean, if you guys, you know, if you're not so hot about Legacy and you're kind of lukewarm about Modern, we're going to give these subjects time enough to where they're each going to get their time in the sun, like Spencer said. And then, you know, if you're not so hot on Legacy that day, you can just skip to our training grounds or something like that.
Yeah, so I want to find a way to do the Mega Rankings where I can give you the data. And it's possible that maybe it's in article form. Maybe we just don't do Mega Rankings episodes, and maybe it's in article form. But I think that Legacy and Modern and Standard are all really sweet. I think Vintage is sweet. I think Pauper is sweet. I would love to be able to give you guys the data that we find so valuable on this podcast. And in doing the Mega Rankings episodes, I want to be able to give you a top 10. I want to do what we did last week. I loved last week's episode.
Yeah, that was great.
And but I'd also like to give you more data, like what's good against what? What, like... And so I want to find a way to do them that makes the most sense for each format. And in a time frame, like, I want to give you the information that you need to succeed. But the thing is, like, doing three episodes sounds crazy, right? Three episodes in a row where all it is like, Standard Mega Rankings, Legacy Mega Rankings.
Yeah, yawn.
Exactly. It sounds like, I mean, I just want to learn about getting better at Magic, guys. Like, I don't care about this format. So I want to find a way to make it work. And it's possible that Mega Rankings becomes three different episodes that we do, and maybe they're just for Patreon listeners.
True. Yeah.
Like, there's all kinds of options, but we think that the formats deserve the justice that we want to give them. So, that being said, I like Legacy.
I like it as well. It is.
You know who likes Legacy a lot, though?
Matt Kling.
So,
like, number one on the list, Matt Kling.
So, Matt and I plan on starting a stream for doing live Legacy best of five matches on Mondays that I kind of want to call like Lazy Legacy Mondays, because who wants to work on a Monday? You'd rather watch us like stream at 10 in the morning, right? So hopefully we can get that started here in the next couple of weeks, but Matt is in, and I know that you guys love Matt, so I thought I'd let everybody know. I had another announcement that I didn't put in here because I thought I'd remember it, but I don't remember it.
Oh no.
I'm the worst.
You are. Is it possibly the card of the week?
It's not the card of the week.
All right.
I don't remember what it is. All right. Whatever. We won't worry about it. Let's go into the card of the week segment. We already announced what we're doing. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be giving out a card of the week.
Yay, holidays.
So for Christmas to our patrons, we're giving out cards of the week for the entire month of December the first week of January.
Yeah, probably the first week of January. There is a stipulation. It is only going towards our Patreon $3 or more per month listeners, which is a very small pool, which is a good thing right now because that means that your chances of winning are very, very high.
Yeah, so this week we're giving it out to a random patron at $3 or more, and we're giving out a Polluted Delta.
Ooh.
So first of all, so we have somebody picked that's going to win the card of the week, right?
Yes, completely by a random nature.
Just random person, one card of the week. But let's talk about the card of the week. And this week we wanted to give out something awesome, but also we want to give out something that actually impacts the format we're talking about this week, which is going to be Legacy. So this week we're giving out Polluted Delta, which came in a lot of the decks that like made up our top decks. Why are blue fetch lands so good?
I mean, blue. Do I need to say anything else?
They make blue mana?
Yeah.
And they grab your dual lands.
Yeah.
In Standard, in Modern, and in Legacy.
Pretty nuts. Pretty bonkers.
I mean, Polluted Delta is seeing a lot of play.
Yeah.
And it's seeing a lot of play because it makes your mana so much better. Fetch lands are actually better than dual lands because this Polluted Delta, if you're playing Grixis, can grab you your Steam Vents, or your Water Grave, or your Blood Crypt.
Yeah, it's...
It can grab you all of it.
It pretty much just says, tap it, pay life, sack it, grab whatever you want.
Or your Overgrown Tomb. Or, like, it can grab you all five colors of mana.
Right.
Like, you can grab any color of mana you need, you can grab with a Polluted Delta. You can do it with any fetch line, but this one specifically grabs, like, islands.
Right.
So...
seems very good when a Blood Moon's about to resolve.
So card of the week this week will be Polluted Delta because of how much it impacts Legacy, which is our format this week.
And because of how much I love Grixis. This is my favorite.
So yeah, so the winner of this Polluted Delta is... William Reinhardt.
Congratulations, William.
Congratulations, William. So send us a message via Patreon, or you can message me directly. We'll hook you up with it, man.
Yeah, we'll have that card mailed out to you as soon as possible.
Yeah, from Oasis Games.
Yep.
So, awesome.
So anyone who wants to be in the running for the next one, just have to join the Patreon. $3 a month is not very much to get, you know, a $20 or up, you know, higher in value card.
Yeah. And it's just a way for us to, like, for the month of December, give Christmas presents out to, like, our Patreons, right?
Absolutely.
So we just appreciate all of you guys. We wanted to give something back to you. We appreciate you guys. And thank you so much. And congratulations to William. So let's talk power rankings. So this week we're doing Legacy. So we're just going to read off the list just like we've started doing. So we have a tie at 5 and 6 with Punishing Loam. So this is 4-color Abzan red, basically, with Punishing Fire, Knight of the Reliquary deck. Mm-hmm. Pretty sweet. At number 6, we have the Lands deck. This came... I put it ahead of it because it had more finishes, where the Punishing Loam deck only had the one finish. Number 4, we have Storm coming with 11 points. Actually lower than I thought Storm was going to do on these power rankings. I thought this deck was doing a lot better and was pretty well set up for this metagame.
Well, I mean, when we look at the higher seeded decks, so like we can just name off real quick.
We'll talk about this. But so at number 3 and 2, I want to switch these. So at number 3, we're going to actually just put Rug and Grixis Delver because neither one of them made up enough points to deserve the slot. Uh-huh. They had to combine them.
Right.
And technically, if you put Bug Delver in there, it would have the Delver decks at large would have finished higher.
Right.
But I actually don't feel like Bug is as close to Rug.
I would agree.
Rug and Grixis are a little close to each other.
They have very much a similar game plan, playing Stifles.
Yeah.
Slam the early threat instead of Goyfs. You have, you know, Gurmag Anglers or Tassikers, whatever the flavor is that you want. So they're very similar.
Yeah, well, playing a slightly different game, but it's like with Stifle being on both decks, it's just worth talking about.
Right.
Like, number 2, we have Shardless Bug, Spencer's favorite deck.
So, I mean, it's an all-star. That deck is so good.
It's just, ever since the banning of Dig Through Time, it's just been in one, two, or three slot the entire time.
Right, yeah. And since, exactly.
Yeah, and coming in at number 1 with 22 points, we have Miracles. So for those who know, the way the points break down is 6 for first, 5 for second, 4 for third and fourth, 3 for top 8, 2 for top 16, and 1 for top 32 if available. So Grixis at, Miracles at 22, Shardless and the two Delver decks at 15, Storm at 11, and then Lands and Punishing Loam at 6. What do you think? What do you think of these rankings? I'm actually... these rankings are a little bit different than our last ones.
Yeah, they're very different. I'm very surprised that Miracles did so well. Not because it's a bad deck, just because it was struggling so much during our last power rankings.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was in fifth place, I want to say.
Look at you being all right, Manny.
Yeah,
all right,
I've got a great memory. What do you think? I'm such an amazing magic player.
The old ones did have miracles all the way down at 15 points. And then Chardless and Delver were tied at 20 points. And they're still tied. But yeah. This did include all variants of Delver.
Right. I mean, right after Dig Through Time, the different Delver variants were pretty different. I think Grixis was playing like Snapcaster Mages and some other crazy stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess they are a little bit different here. You know, honestly, there's a few things that... I think that if there is a Legacy banning, I think that Top will go, and I think that it deserves to go. I think that the deck is... It lends itself to cheating.
I mean, the very first time you're playing against Miracles and you understand the Top counterbalance interaction, you just feel like it's the most unfair thing that's ever happened to you.
But also the fact that Top, you can just activate the card whenever you want.
Yeah.
It lends to slow play and like legal slow play that is hard to judge and hard to police. And so for that reason, I actually just think the deck should be gone.
Really? That strongly?
Yeah, I thought
the deck has been around for so long now.
Casey and I talked about it a little bit, and like just the fact that it's impossible to police the card just means that it should probably go.
Right, and I mean, I guess I can understand with the amount of Miracles matches that go to time and draw out. I can understand that.
So, that's my thought on that deck, but honestly, like, Grixis, Delver, Rugged Delver, Shardless Bug, Storm, these decks are just making up a very good percentage of the metagame. And man, is lands getting, like, way more play than it used to get.
I know, it's so surprising, especially with the hard-to-find cards in that deck being so hard to find.
And, like, the deck being very hard to play.
It is very difficult to play. I find that a lot of people who own those decks, though, are very seasoned with them.
Yeah, so Punishing Love, though, sweet deck coming in there.
Yeah, shaking it up
also,
a little bit.
Also, anti-shout-out to Star City for calling that...
Punishing Abzan.
Punishing Abzan? What a terrible... You can't mess with Legacy names. It's Shardless Bug, Rug Delver. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
I'm not calling it Teamer Delver. And I'm certainly not calling this Punishing Loam deck Punishing Abzan.
Sure. You feel strongly about it?
I do, but I want to talk about, and you want to talk about, I know you want to talk about, just the fact that Chalice of the Void is making that.
It's so sweet, the way these decks are slamming them for one. It's beautiful.
So what's going on, man?
It's so good. So, I mean, a lot of, so take for instance, Blue Red Twin did very good, I believe, in this last IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The theory behind it is solid, right? You slam a creature, you slam your twin, and you go off. Now, with Chalice of the Void, what that does is it takes away a lot of the removal. Swords to Plowshares, Brainstorm. It's shutting...
It's not a removal spell, but it does shut up Brainstorm.
Yeah, sorry. So there are some of the removal spells. It's so good. It does so much in this format, especially when you build your deck around it.
Okay. Is that all you had to say?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm in love with it. I love the way it's being played. I love the way it's being utilized. It's very effective. Not everyone is expecting it yet. And I mean, even if you were expecting it, you're not going to not play those cards.
Friendly podcast to this podcast, the Spike Feed, they talked about this deck a little bit and how excited, I think, some of the hosts were about the deck, or a specific host, just talked about, like, how cool this Punishing Loam deck is. And I think it's sweet.
It is so sweet.
Like, you'd have to do a lot to convince me to play a Mox Diamond in my deck, because that's just not the kind of magic I like to play.
Sure.
But it would probably involve playing Life from the Loam.
Yeah, I mean, like, so good.
Come on. Yeah. You discard a land, and then you loam it back! It's so powerful! Oh my gosh. No, I think this deck is sweet. I love Knight of the Reliquary.
Yeah.
I love the fact that this deck, like, it plays two Sylvan Library. It gets to pretend to be a blue deck in a lot of ways, and I'm just a big fan of that.
Yeah, it's really neat. The Gaddock Teague is very interesting there. I mean, it fits right in there. And I think...
Oh yeah, you got the Green Sun package with a couple Green Sun Zeniths to go get... Scavenging Ooze, Dryad Arbor, Gaddock Teague. You know, out of the sideboard, you get Reclamation Sage.
I like that too.
Yeah, so it's just, this is a good time, man. This is how...
What a time to be alive,
yeah,
as Casey would say.
Just a great, what a time, exactly, what a time to be alive. Casey Bloodworth quotes everyone. And yeah, so what do you think of this, though? What do you think of these Miracle decks playing Monastery Mentor
as a win condition? I think it's wonderful. I think it's really, really great. It's smart, and I think it's going to do
powerful things.
This
deck has no Entreat the Angels in the main deck.
No.
None. It's just going to win by playing Monastery Mentor, and then you're dead.
Yeah, that seems good. Seems
so great. Like, what? How is this deck? How are these? And this is why I think that Miracles can go, is because Jace the Mind Sculptor, Monastery Mentor, Snapcaster Mage, like, there are powerful enough cards in Legacy for you to create a control deck that you, or even like a grindy control deck, that you don't need counterbalance and top to create
it,
that deck.
It really seems like it's setting it a little just over the top.
Like,
I don't... over the top.
You're the worst. Oh my gosh. That was such a terrible pun.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so that's so clearly we have like opinions on the format and like the decks and things that are going on. What do you think, man? Where are you at in this format? Man, Legacy decks are so fun to look at, by the way.
They are, and they're very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at this. This is how you build a Legacy deck. Yeah,
that looks good. Sorry, we're looking at Shardless Bug.
In case you guys Shardless Bug. This is funny because this is like very. This is one card off from my deck. This list is literally one card off from my.
Beautiful.
From my 75.
It looks so good. Really? Even sideboard.
Sorry, for my 60.
Okay, I was like, that's like insane. No.
Yeah. So this list that took second for the IQ this weekend is 2 Baleful Strix, 4 Shardless Agent, 4 Deathrite Shaman, the best creature in Magic, 4 Tarmogoyf, the one that makes every blue player call it a blue card. I don't know why. 4 Abrupt Decay, 4 Brainstorm, the funnest card in Magic, 1 Disfigure, 3 Force of Wills. Oh, this is 2 cards off. It's missing a land. 4 Ancestral Recall, 2 Him, 2
Ancestral Thoughties. Vision. He said Ancestral Vision.
I didn't. I said Recall.
Okay.
I said what I meant.
All right.
1 Toxic Deluge, 2 Jace the Mind Sculptor, 1 Liliana. So typically my list would have 2 Force of Will, no Disfigure, 2 Liliana, and would have a 23rd land. Mm-hmm. I could be convinced to cut the land.
I mean, with how hot Delver decks are, I think the Disfigure is very good.
Yeah. But yeah, man, this deck is sweet. I just love Magic, man.
It's so great.
I love Magic so
much. Best game in the world.
Oh, goodness. So what... Obviously, we love Legacy and talking about it and like looking at deck lists, but what would you play right now and why?
Delver. Grixis Delver. Well, that's hard. I would definitely play either Grixis or Rug Delver. I mean, I love them both. They're so good.
Here's the thing, is that if I was going to play a Delver deck, I'd just be on Grixis.
I mean, that's what I've played in the past, and I like
it. I like Deathrite Shaman. I like Delver of Secrets. I like Pyromancer.
The Anglers are good.
Yeah, and I mean, I would play Tassiger over Angler.
Uh-huh. Really? Just for the card advantage?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of get to the lands eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, but I mean, a 5-5 is just so much bigger than a 4-5 in this format. It really is.
I mean, a 4-4 is pretty big in this format.
It is, but I mean, just the amount of times I have wished that my creature was a 5-5 against a Goyf is a lot.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and for me, like, I would find a split. I would probably, like, do a 2-1 split somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if I was going to play a Delver deck, I'd be playing Grixis over.
Yeah, it's so sweet. The days, the stifles, oh, so good. And I mean, let's not discount Young Pyromancer either. It really pulls the deck together. It allows you to go so wide.
So what do you think? Forkbolt or Fire Ice? Which do you think is better?
I would go with Forkbolt.
So I think I go with Fire Ice. So Fire Ice, for those who don't know, is a split card that's one aside as ice. It's a blue card that you can tap down a creature and draw a card. And then the fire side is just Twin Bolt, where it's red and one to Fork Bolt at instant speed. And I like it better. I think that I like the idea of pitching it to Force of Will a little bit better.
Sure, yeah. That's a very good point.
So, but yeah, I can understand wanting to play...
Stifle, yeah. That's all I want to do Stifle, in my whole life.
Not really, but I like the idea of Grixis and... I mean, but also, I want to try this Punishing Loam deck.
It looks super sweet.
It's because, like, I haven't seen a deck like this in, it feels like, forever.
I love the fact that it's playing Confidants. I really, really like
that's
that
my least... My
yeah,
least...
I would assume so. That would be your least favorite.
Yeah, but, I mean, I like the deck. I like everything it's trying to do.
And Knight of the Reliquary gets so out of hand in this format.
And it has the least fun Magic card in the world in its sideboard. And Thalia, Guardian of blah, blah, blah.
I think the card's fine.
The most unfun. Nah, that's not true.
I mean, making...
That's not true. I'm being a little bit overdramatic here.
Yeah, I mean,
clearly the most unfun card of all time is the the Battlecry one that makes 2/1/1s every time it attacks.
And oh, Hero of Behold.
Yeah, that's the least fun Magic card of all time.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm pretty excited about Legacy. I think that, like, it's interesting to note that Storm, Shardless, Grixis, and Rug, Delver, and Miracles are all still on the list, but the deck that kind of went out of favor, it looks like, and it had zero finishes in the last 2 weeks, didn't even have a finish, was Infect. And that's not on the list this time. And it's taken over by things like this, the lands decks and things like that.
I think, you know, with Infect, you're really trying to flip a coin a lot. And, I mean, you're not going to hit heads every time. And I think that's just what that deck does. I think it can be a very good deck, but it can also be not the best deck.
You know what deck looks like to be on the rise, though, is Grixis Painter. That deck looks to be doing some stuff. And that...
Let's take a look.
Oh, sure. I can pull up one. Huh. So Grixis Painter, for those who don't know, is just a Painter Servant Goblin Welder deck that plays Dakfaden and Tezzeret. And then, you know, obviously the other cards being like Grindstone. So it's a Painter Servant Grindstone deck that gets to play Tezzeret and Dakfaden. Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas too, which is my favorite Planeswalker ever.
That's the one. That's the favorite.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Grindstone is a 1-mana card that you can pay 3 and tap it to put the top 2 cards of target player's library into their graveyard. If they share at least one color, you repeat the process. And then Painter's Servant is a 2-mana Scarecrow that's a 1/3, that when it comes into play, you choose a color, and all decks that aren't in play, spells and permanents, are that chosen color. So when you play a Grindstone into a Painter's Servant, and the next turn when you untap, you can just activate the Grindstone, naming... typically, you would name blue, because it makes Pyroblast better. Fire element, or what is it called? Red Elemental Blast. So you would name those that color, so you could do that. But yeah, so but the deck gets to play Dakfaden and Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas, and I think that's sweet.
Yeah, it seems fun.
So, all right, so there's your power rankings for the week. We have, like I said, Punishing Loam and Landslide at 5 and 6, Storm at 4, Shardless Bug and Rug and Grixis Delver tied at 2nd and 3rd. And then Miracles coming in at 1 with Spencer calling for a banning. So, there we go. Well, let's go into our main topic for the week. This week, we are talking about something that I'm pretty excited about. It kind of encompasses other things we've talked about, but we're putting it in a little bit of different light this week. And we're going to talk about shedding bad habits. So, Manny, what is a habit? What is the definition of a habit?
Definition of a bad habit is a settled or...
No, this is actually the definition of just the word habit.
Oh, I see.
Not even a bad habit. This is just the definition of the word habit.
Gotcha. A settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up.
Okay, so the definition of a habit says hard. This means that you can't expect things to be easy. Why is that important to remember when you're talking about bad habits?
Because it's something that, in the case of a habit or shedding a bad habit... is something that you can expect to take you quite a while to do and to put in quite a bit of work.
I think that you're absolutely right. And I think that when you think about it, like, what are habits that you've had that you didn't want to break that but would have still been really hard
smoking.
To quit?
Smoking.
you didn't want to break that habit?
What's
a good habit you had that would have been, like, really hard to break? For me, that I don't want to break, it would probably be, like, not speeding. Uh-huh. It's a bad habit that I had, and now I have a habit of going under the speed limit.
Sure.
It would actually be really hard for me to change that. Like, I'm used to going this speed in a car.
Yeah.
And it would be difficult to change that.
Sure, yeah. So as far as that, then, I go to bed at 9 every night, and I wake up at 5 every morning. And I, mind you, I don't work until 8:30. It's just something that I do. And I, you know, I like to do that. It helps me, gives me time to prepare for the day, you know, slowly make my nice breakfast, this, that, and the other. And if I had to stop doing that, I mean, it would probably wreck my day.
So on the flip side, though, you talk about smoking. Like, that was a bad habit you had.
Right, yes.
So why was that so hard to smoke? Other than the fact that nicotine is the worst.
Sure. Why it was so hard is because, I mean, I liked it. I like doing it. It was something I enjoyed. And it's something I enjoy, I can tell you that. It's something I still enjoy, I just don't do it now. But, you know, it was bad for me. It wasn't something that I wanted to do, and I didn't want to associate with the risk associated with smoking.
Okay. So these are some non-magic habits that we can, like, kind of relate to. A good example of this might be, like, a good example for magic players might be, like, not taking a shower is a bad habit that they could kick.
Absolutely.
Like, you should probably take a shower, like, I believe the recommended actual amount of shower taking is 3.5 times per week. So you should take 3 showers 1 week, 4 showers another week is like the medical recommended number of showers.
Yeah, I mean, like, some people shower every other day, and I think that's fine. I mean, yeah, as long as you're not like a smelly person, right? Right.
And like, some people, like, there are a lot of people that shower every day, and like, as long as their skin is like not like falling off, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I shower every day, but I wash my hair every other day. Like,
right.
This is a habit that they've developed that's a good habit. And, like, some people, like, need to kick the habit of, like, being too tired to shower.
Right.
And these are basic habits that, like, people develop over time, and they're hard to change. It's because, like, it's kind of like the same thing we were talking about with the question that we had this week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your brain develops shortcuts, and, like, your day-to-day routine develops shortcuts.
Right.
Like...
But when you...
Like, you take the same way to work every day, right?
Right, yeah. I'm not
Could gonna, you imagine taking a different way to work?
Not in the slightest. I go on autopilot. I hop in my car, and I zone out, and next thing I know, I'm at work.
Yeah. And I mean, there are times where I'm like, I actually don't remember driving to work today.
Yeah, all the time. I'm like, where am I? Oh, okay. I know what I have to do now.
So, what is a...
Probably not the safest habit, by the way, you guys.
What is a good habit you've developed in Magic, Manny?
A good habit? A good habit that I've developed lately is evaluating my board state at every possible opportunity that I can. Whenever my opponent is attempting to resolve a spell, whenever they're attacking, whenever... I mean, each step of the game, you want to stop, evaluate your board state, your hand, where the game is at, and, you know, continue.
Yeah. And that's a great habit to have, right? Like, that's going to make you a better Magic player.
Yeah, if you just say okay all the time, you're probably eventually going to say okay to something that isn't okay.
Yeah, I think for me, like, a good habit that I've developed over time is just, like, always tapping my mana very considerately. Like, I never cast a spell without looking at the lands I'm tapping first.
Sure.
And, like, not even that, but, like, I can mentally picture my lands tapped, so I don't even actually have to move them.
Yeah. So, Jedi powers.
No, I think that has to do with memory.
Sure.
But tomato, yeah.
Tomato.
But, like, yeah, so that's a great habit that I've developed. So let's talk about... So we know what a habit is, right? We know that there's good ones, there's bad ones, what we can do with them, right?
Right.
How they impact us positively, or how they make Magic tournaments really smelly. Like, we understand what a habit is.
Right.
So what does shed mean? So... This is actually really specific. There's a lot of definitions of the word shed. One of them is to discard. And specifically, to shed, you would discard something undesirable, superfluous, I can't say this word.
Yeah.
Or outdated.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like, twice a century I shed my skin.
What?
What? Nothing. Okay, so you get, yeah, superfluous.
Yeah, so this means that the word shed, to shed, is very specific to discard something that you don't actually want.
Uh-huh.
You would not shed something you did want.
Right, I mean, if you have winning habits where you're doing what you're supposed to and you're doing it correctly, that's not something you're going to want to get rid of.
Right, so you get rid of things you don't want, you develop the things that you do want. Very simple, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think we've talked about developing good habits actually as a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is very simplistic as an idea, right? Because, I mean, like, shedding a bad habit in Magic can be so difficult. It can be something you don't even catch yourself doing until someone points it out to you.
A great example of this, going into our next topic, is during the segment where we talked about Robert's question, I talked about how terrible you are at tapping your mana.
Right.
So, like, why is that true? Why is that true about you? Why can't you just fix that? Why isn't that something that tomorrow you're good at?
I mean, it is something that I am getting better at. In the past, I have lost games and matches because I have made mistakes with my mana. And I find that the more I focus on it, the more I concentrate on it, the less that happens. And it definitely still happens. I'm a human being, I err. But it's definitely something that I am confident one day I will no longer have.
So I know that you think that I'm, like, almost perfect at Magic.
Oh, sure.
But I have a really big flaw.
What is it?
Like, a terrible flaw that to this day, in every tournament, I catch myself doing it like 3 times.
Tell me so I can exploit it when we play.
So, I don't look at my hand when my opponents are casting spells.
What?
Like, a lot of the time. So, if I forget about a card in my hand, like, if it's just not in the front of my mind, oftentimes my opponents will resolve spells through counter spells.
Huh.
And I have to regroup and win the game through that.
Gotcha. I did not know that about you.
Yeah. It is a terrible, terrible habit. It's funny because, like, I learned the habit through Casey and Quentin.
Mm-hmm. They do this as well?
No, they set their hands down while during their opponent's turn.
Uh-huh.
And I started doing that.
Sure.
I didn't used to do that.
Okay, I see. So before, when you had it in front of your face, you'd look at it whenever they were
resolving your spell. Yeah, so, like, for example, like, when I get into very competitive tournaments, nothing my opponent does goes without my okay and me looking at my hand.
Right.
But, like, if, like, something changes in a game state where I don't have my hand set down for a second, where I'm thinking, there's a good chance that that spell goes through, like, a counter spell.
Right. Just, like, and, I forgot I had a cryptic command.
Like, that has literally happened.
Yeah, I mean, with as much as you play Scapeshift, I completely believe that.
And so, that's a pretty big one for me, specifically. That it's a bad habit that I've developed that, like you, I actively work on. I actively, in tournaments, like, for example, this basically never happens in Limited. I've never, like...
Well, not... I mean, that makes sense, right? Because you don't even know what cards you have.
Yeah. So... That never happens in Limited, but it's actually something that I've, like, mentally focused on. For example, like, I forgot about combat tricks a lot in Limited, that I had combat tricks. Like,
yeah.
When, like, they do something I don't expect, I'm like, oh my gosh, like...
That's so good!
I can't believe he did that. I'm just gonna bin this guy. And, like, that's... It's funny, like, we're laughing about it, but it's a thing that I had to overcome, and now I have to overcome it in Constructed, where I need to do the same thing. Like, it's so easy to, like, and this one's pretty easy to, like, have a lapse in, like, judgment where, like, you're just like, oh, I don't want to kill that yet. And then you take 4, and then during their second main phase, you, like, kill a Siege Rhino that you took 4 from, and you're like, I should have just done that during their attack. I mean,
without rhyme or reason, right? Like, oh, if he plays this, then I'll get rid of it. But it's just like, oh, by the way, Abzan Charm, please.
And they're like... That was weird. They, like, in their guy. Okay. And it's a bad habit that a lot of people have. That, like, just, and that comes from another bad habit. It comes from just not doing the math. Like,
right.
Not caring about what somebody could have, what somebody could do. It's just, like, a thing that we all inherently do that we need to overcome. And these three specific things are the three things that I picked because one of them is your bad habit, one of them is my bad habit, and one of them just way too many people just don't do the math.
Right.
Like, they just make willy-nilly attacks
all the time
into things, and I'm like, I don't actually know what you were counting
for. Oftentimes when that happens, you think it's calculated, and you go, oh, okay, well, block, block, and they go, oh, yep, that happens to me.
Yeah, they're like, attack, and you sit there thinking, you're like...
How are they going to get me?
Like, what could they possibly have? And you go through, like, 300 cards in your head, and you're like, they couldn't have any of these. Block. And they're like, oh... You can block. Bin my guy. And you're like, sweet 3 for 0.
Yeah.
And it's something that can be... It can be harder. It can be harder to... I mean, especially, like, people who don't... People... The first two, right? The lands thing. Everyone makes those mistakes. And as somebody who, like... In my time in Magic, I just got... I lost too many times to my lands. Like, and this happened pretty early in my Magic career. Where, like... I wasn't leaving up the right counterspell mana, the right removal spell mana, or I wasn't making my opponent play around things I didn't have, and it was like, man, this is just costing me games. So very early in my Magic career, I just started doing that. But it can be harder for a lot of people to recognize the percentage points that they're losing and to realize that it's actually a bad habit that they have, especially if they're winning still.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, if you are playing people who are not at your skill level, you can get away with mistakes like that, honestly, and still win. But
yeah, I mean, I just talked about the number of times that I've just let people willy-nilly resolve spells and had to come back and win.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like...
Just because, yeah, exactly. Just because you're winning doesn't make it not a bad habit.
I mean, it makes it worse, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
That's because you're not recognizing it. It makes it terrible. And so, how do you get rid of it? How do you stop?
I mean, the first part of doing, of getting rid of a bad habit is identifying that you have a bad habit, is accepting it, knowing that it's a weak spot in your game, and taking the first steps to rectify it.
What do you mean? You're telling me that I can't just say I have a bad habit and fix it tomorrow?
Probably not.
Why not?
Because it's already a habit.
Because the definition of habit is that it's hard.
Right. It's a regular tendency that you practice constantly. So now you have to train your mind to, in essence, think a different way, which, as we all know, can be pretty hard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about... It's funny because that these shortcuts that we talked about with Robert's question feed directly into this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was just thinking about it when we were discussing it. I was like, oh, this is going to get good.
Because, like, the shortcuts that Robert can develop can either be a detriment or a good thing for him, right?
Right.
He's at the point in his Magic career where he's going to develop either very, very, very good habits or very bad habits.
Right. And, I mean, the other thing is that with this game that we play, it's so focused on, you know, your mental faculties. You have to be thinking at all times. There's a million things you have to be doing. And oftentimes, so yes, making a shortcut can make the game easier. But, I mean, even if you didn't do that, let's say you didn't take any shortcuts and you thought out every process, every decision, that would not necessarily be a bad thing.
I mean, no, wouldn't necessarily be a good thing, too, because I might reach across the table and choke you out.
No, I mean, if you could do all these things quickly. Sure. If you could do them at a reasonable pace.
Sure. No, obviously I'm joking. I would never really do that. No. But it's a good thing to think about where you want the shortcuts that you develop to be the good habits that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, an example of this is that Casey is pretty freaking good at. It's that he doesn't play with his hand revealed. And every time his opponent casts a spell, he picks up his hand, looks at it, fizzles with a mana.
Yeah.
Sets his hand down.
I'm seeing his arm. Yeah, play 100 times.
Pick it up. That resolves. That's fine. That's fine.
That was like him to, oh my gosh.
And I was also I was also doing it with my arms and hands, and like Manny's like losing it because
he was exactly like him.
And Casey's developed this great habit that everyone should do.
I mean, it's so good, and it's the same. Like, it's so similar every time. You have no idea if he's even contemplating countering something.
Unless he goes on tilt, then you can tell.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know what I mean, though? Like, I have no idea if he has nothing or if he has everything.
Yeah, it could be five. Ugh. He could have five mutagenic growths.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would have five. That would be completely illegal, but he could do it.
Yeah.
That's a good habit that somebody's developed, whereas... I love having you on the podcast because I know you don't mind me throwing you under the bus.
I mean, I don't like it, but okay.
But, like, you don't mind, right?
No, go ahead.
But, like, the number of times where I have seen Manny just pick up three lands, turn them sideways, play a spell, look at his land, look at his hand go, put his hand on his forehead is way too many.
Sure.
And it's, like, it's funny in a way that, like, Manny knows that he made a mistake. The same thing happens for me, right? Like, I have my hand set down. I'm like, oh, like, I can't believe you played that Siege Rhino. Like, that's insane. Like, that's so good right now. Like, I guess let me adjust my life total.
Yeah.
And then, like, he said, go. And I'm like, all right. And then I pick up my hand. And I see it a stable stroke. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
You're like, you know what would have been really good?
And so it's all about just finding what you're doing wrong and making a mental effort. Manny has gotten better at tapping his mana correctly. I've gotten better at just holding my cards in my hand and just... maybe the same shortcuts from you and me don't work for everybody, right?
Right.
Everybody's different, and that's okay. And it's okay that you need to develop the correct habits for you. I'm certainly not the same player that LSV is. LSV says that he basically makes every single play off of his entire career off of a hunch, and I could never do that.
That's impressive.
I do it a lot. I do it more than Matt Kling. I do it more than Quentin. But I could never just...
Yeah. But you don't have it. I feel this is right.
Yeah. And so it's all about you specifically and admitting when you're doing something wrong. Robert, for example, he says... And the reason that I waited to bring this up was because I wanted to talk about it in this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Robert says that he has a hard time with mulliganing because he keeps a lot of 7-card hands. We did a podcast once where we talked about the average number of times you should be mulliganing through a tournament, and it's a lot. You should be mulliganing a lot, especially now with the Skyroll. You might be supposed to be mulliganing more.
Oh, yeah, it's so, like, good. I mean...
You should probably mulligan about 1 in 3 hands. You should probably mulligan about once a match. or it's a little bit less than that. I think we decided it's 1 in 4 games.
Mm-hmm. Is about that seems about right.
Yeah. Is about the average. I think it's a little bit less than 1 in 4 games, depending on the build of your deck. But like an average deck should probably mulligan 1 in 4 times.
Yeah, so I mean, I learned that lesson very harshly the other week when I played against Pete, if you recall. So I played against Pete. I was contemplating my hand, and he Jedi mind tricked me, and he was like, "You shouldn't keep a 2-land hand on the play with Obzon. We're playing the same deck." And I was all like, "Screw you, Pete! You don't tell me what to do." And I windmill slammed my land, and I said, "Go." Turns out he was right. I gave him the match, but you know, it's just one of those things where. Don't be...
But just saying that, for example, for Robert, like, the fact that you know that you try and keep as many sevens as possible means that you recognize that you're doing something, which means that it can be very easy for you to realize that it might be a mistake. Because if there's anything that, like, some of the best players have taught me is that mulliganing aggressively is actually a good thing. I mean, there's certain players on the SCG server that I don't want to name that, like, have a hard time at the Pro Tour. And they openly admit that they almost never mulligan. And can you imagine what their life would be like if they did? Because they're great players. Yeah, they're insane.
Right. Just the correlation is...
Yeah. It's like, mulliganing is a... Not mulliganing is a bad habit that, Robert, I believe you can shake. And I encourage you to shake it. And if you ever just, like, want to come jam games at Oasis and, like, talk about hands, play some games of Sneak Keeper Ditch, which it's really fun for me. I love doing it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
We can talk. We can do that. And so, yeah, there we go.
There it is.
That's kind of all I have to say on this. Like, you need to recognize it when you have a bad habit. So let's wrap this up. Let's talk about how does this affect your real life?
How does what?
Developing bad habits, oh, getting rid of bad habits.
It affects every aspect of your life, right? I mean, our life is really, the way we live our life is a collection of habits that we have collected. You know, from the way we brush our teeth to the way we drive to work and all of these things. And if you can identify bad habits in your life, you can identify bad habits in your magic career as well. I mean, there are life skills that transfer to literally everything.
I think that it's funny. Every magic player who has achieved something in magic that I respect tells me how much magic has changed their life. Mm-hmm. And I can't even tell you, like, I can tell you I've lost a lot of friends because of magic. Like, a lot of friends. Like, very, very close friends.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think it was a really, really good thing. I am happier today because of the changes that I've made to myself because of the things that I've learned in magic. And part of it is this habits thing where I've gotten a lot better at recognizing, like, these things that I do wrong, the way that I think, the way that I process information has all changed because of, like, magic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really great tool to learn from, like, the game itself.
And it's funny, Quentin and I have very similar thoughts on this, that, like, it's such a positive hobby to have. Because if you want to be good at magic, you have to do things the right way.
Right.
And you have to think the right way, you have to act the right way. You have to do things the right way to achieve something. And especially achieve something the right way. And that's great. And this, like, learning how to shed a bad magic habit, maybe it'll help you quit smoking. Maybe it will help you quit drinking if you have a problem with drinking. Maybe it will help you in a lot of different aspects in your life.
Yeah, I mean...
And it can all be achieved just by learning how to do it with something as simple as tapping your lands correctly, Manny!
Just consider it done. But I know, I absolutely agree that magic has been a really positive influence on my life. I really like it. I feel like it's taught me a certain degree of, like, conviction and commitment. It's not something that you can just pick up and be great at overnight. It's something you have to work at. It's something you have to do over and over, much like any sport or any game. To be truly great at it, you have to give it your time, attention, and concentration.
I mean, I'm going to get a little sappy here.
Okay.
Think about it this way.
Okay.
You told me that this podcast is so important to you.
Yeah, I love it.
Like
four episodes deep. I love it.
Like, magic has changed your life, and, like, this podcast has become a positive experience in your life. And I think that doing it every week, the same that it did this for me, I can see the impact it's having on you. Like, you want to have a positive impact. You want to improve your life, and you want magic as a whole to do that for you. Yeah. And you can see direct transitions, like, the way you think about life is changing, and it's the way they have, like, my work life is so much better because of magic. And it's funny, every interview I've had at my job, Thumbtack, which I love, I've mentioned the podcast and how we act and how we think on the podcast. And like, they're like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. And it's true. It's, and you talked about how you love the fans of this show.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that was, so yeah, one of the things I said to Spencer a while ago was that I have generally had like a bad view of people. I don't really like people. Like, as weird as that may sound, like, I don't like talking to them, I don't like meeting people, I don't want to hear your story, I don't want to hear what you have to say to me. But that's, this show is really changing my opinion on that. Like, in our Facebook group, I check it every day. I love to hear what people say. I love talking to new people. I played with a player, Kyle, just the other day. It was a great experience. It was really fun. We jammed some modern games. I'm going to play with another guy, Roger. And we're going to jam as soon as like we can find some time. We have some conflicting schedules. But it's just so neat to know that there's so many like-minded, interesting, and nice people out there that I want to get to know, that I want to, like, you know, I mean, over, you know, playing Magic games, but that I want to, you know, get to know them. I want to talk to them. I want to play with them.
Yeah, and every interaction I've ever had with the fan of this show is, it's just been such a positive experience, because the people that surround themselves with constructive criticism are the kind of people that want to improve. Like, you're not going to listen to, like, if you're the kind of person that's, like, listening to the show and go, this is bullshit, and you're like, this is stupid.
You can't say that.
I can say it. If you listen to the show and you're like, this is bullshit, then you probably should stop listening. Like, if you are sitting back and thinking, I'm not getting better at Magic, these guys are crazy, I don't have any bad habits, you're wrong. Like,
yeah.
Everybody has bad habits.
Owen Turnwald probably has a bad habit or two he's trying to shed.
Yeah, everybody does it. Everybody can get better. And being the kind of person that wants to improve, you're just going to. Like, because you want to, it's just going to do it. So yeah, I think that's it. That's all I got to say on this. I hope that in doing something like this, it can help you in, like, a major life event. And because it has for me, it really has. My life has gotten better because of the way that I approach it, because of Magic. So, all right, let's do this. So don't forget that you can join the MTGO clan. It's the Constructive Criticism clan, where you will also surround yourself with like-minded people who can help you get better at Magic, really. You can ask me if I'm online at Spencer13Dev, or you can ask Quinn, which I swear I put his name in the show notes.
Earthstripe.
I know, but I remember typing it up.
It's not there, Earthstripe.
I know, but it's U-R-T-H-Y-P-E.
No, no, oh my gosh. I have it memorized already. U-R-T-H-S-T-R-Y-P-E.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I've heard you say this like a million times and butcher it a million times. I'm done with it.
One more time.
U-R-T-H-S-T-R-Y-P-E.
Awesome. So you can message Quinn. He can enter the group too because he can access my Moto One account. All right. So don't forget, you can listen to the podcast because of our sponsor. That's Oasis Games.
Oasis Games. So what Oasis Games is to, like, Magic, like LGSs, is what Floyd Mayweather is to boxing. I'm dead serious.
So I love Oasis Games.
The best.
I love it.
Undefeated, like 55-0.
The greatest part about Oasis is, like, if I have a problem, I can just tell them and they're like, either they fix it or I can just whine about it later. But usually they just fix it.
Yeah, typically.
No, that's not even true. Like, the biggest problem I ever had with Oasis got solved. Like, I was like, and they've been a great thing to have a part of this podcast.
I think they're just great for the Utah Magic community. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. I don't, if you're not playing there or shopping there, you probably just should be. Like, there are people that are listening to this podcast in Utah that I don't even know about, apparently. And it is worth the drive to, like, drive to Oasis to play Magic.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of places you can go and pick up a modern deck in its entirety is, like, slim to none.
That's not even what I'm talking about. Well, Manny, where do you live?
I live in Harriman.
Is Salt Lake City in comparison to Harriman?
It's, like, 25, 30 miles away.
Okay, it's a long freaking drive. It's a long drive. It's, like, a 45, 50-minute drive.
On all freeway, yeah.
Yeah. Going 80 miles an hour, like, you are taking 40 minutes to drive to Oasis. Where do you play Magic at?
Oasis.
Only Oasis, right?
Yeah, I would never play anywhere else.
And that's the thing. That's how great the store is. And if we're that passionate about it, you should just try shopping there. It's great. Check them out. Don't forget that you can become a Patreon supporter and be a patron by going to patreon.com/ccmtg. It means a lot to us, and you win some sweet cards.
Like, yeah, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but the prize for next week rhymes with Etchland.
Does it?
Yeah, it definitely does.
I don't even know that will be the card of the week.
It will be, but we're still giving it away. That's happening. So, I mean, as of right now, you want in just $3 a month.
Manny's set on just giving out fetch lands.
I want to give one to everybody. I want to, like Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're the Oprah Winfrey of fetch lands. Yeah. You get a fetch land. You get a fetch land. You get a fetch land.
Yeah, and just exciting things are to come, guys.
Yeah, so don't forget, join the Patreon. Be a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/ccmtg. Where can people find you, Manny?
They can find me on Twitter. My handle there is ENTRPNRFRESH, Entrepreneur Fresh.
You memorized that. I'm really proud of you.
I just forgot last week. It's fine. And then you can find me on Facebook. Everyone calls me Manny, but my name is Manuel, M-A-N-U-E-L, last name Meraz, M-E-R-A-Z. I think there's only like 3 people with that name in the country, so it should be fairly easy to find me.
I remember what the announcement was.
What was the announcement?
What is it?
Oh, yay!
All right. Well, let's start with the announcement because it's a hashtag Would That Be Good. We're moving on to hashtag Would That Be Good. You can join the podcast and the conversation every week by using the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Would That Be Good. So if you're not a Facebook user, you can still be a part of the conversation, hashtag Would That Be Good. We'll answer it on the podcast, and hopefully people in the community can reach out to you and give you answers to your questions with the hashtag. But I tweeted, hey, at CCMTG folks, I thought I would give Teespring a try for you guys. Here is the first attempt at a Teespring t-shirt. So the 2 fans have already bought their Teespring t-shirts. They're $20 plus shipping. And there are still myself, you, and West have not bought shirts yet. So, And we all are.
Yeah.
And Casey, I believe, is also buying a shirt.
Sweet.
I'm also buying shirts for Christmas presents for some people.
Cool.
So we're actually already to the point where they'll ship out the shirts anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll put it in the show notes where you can get the shirts. But the shirt is the logo on the front. And then on the back it says, hashtag always improving.
Super sweet.
So obviously Manny will cut his up and work out with it.
Yeah, I mean, the sleeves are not staying on that for more than 6 seconds. That's a fact.
You should buy 2. You should buy 1 to wear to magic events.
No, that's the same one I'm going to wear to magic events. What are you, a psycho?
You can't wear a shirt that's cut to like an
quarter. I don't cut it all the way down like a bro, but I do take the sleeves off. Like all I'm right. About to hop on a motorcycle. Like I'm really cool.
So yeah, you can buy a Constructive Criticism shirt right now. They're on Teespring. I'll put the Teespring link in the show notes, but I can, just so you know, it's just teespring.com/constructed-criticism. So it's a really easy link to get to. And it's just the first shirt. It's just a picture of the logo, which for those who don't know, for some reason, if you're like in a cave, is a deck on fire with @ccmtg.
Oh my gosh, that's what that is? I never knew that.
Can you see it now?
Yeah, I thought it was like a candle.
Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it now.
I mean, you'll be able to see it on the shirt, too.
Yeah.
You'll know what
that's
is.
So much cooler than I thought. Like, I was like, a blue candle, that makes no sense.
Yeah, Why is that the logo? Blue is the hottest flame.
Right, of course.
I mean, white is, but you don't get a fire to white. As somebody who's worked on a forge, like, it's really hard to get to a white flame.
Okay, sure. I have no idea. I'm not a blacksmith. This isn't, like, 1500.
And then Brian Murdoch says, no hashtag Would That Be Good inspired search. So, for those who don't know, hashtag Would That Be Good was actually started as a joke. There was a player that played at Oasis Games who said, Would That Be Good? A lot. A lot, a lot, a lot, and really stupid questions.
I know who you're talking about.
He would ask things. And so, maybe there will be a second round of shirts. It's most likely that it will say, What If Thoughtseize Could Grab Lands? Hashtag Would That Be Good is most likely the shirt that would come out from that.
Sure.
So absolutely, if this is successful, we'll do another line of shirts.
I had no idea this big, huge thing was just a troll on this horrible person.
I mean, he's a terrible person.
The worst.
It turned into a great thing, though. And, a lot of people have gotten better at magic through it. And I don't want to use a direct quote from him, because he would love it.
Ugh.
Feed
this guy's ego for millennia.
But, yeah, absolutely. If this is successful, we'll run more campaigns, more shirts, things like that. We'll get you guys what you want. It's not hard to get a Teespring campaign to launch. I thought it would be a lot harder. You set a goal, and then, yeah.
Sweet.
Let's see here. Eggbeat says, This is the greatest. This is Eggbeat's greatest accomplishment, is assemble a legion in the sideboard of Twin to beat at the Rock matchup.
What? That's perfect. That's so the best.
We had a lengthy discussion about this with Eggbeat, and we did the math on this back when these were built in standard, but I think Elspeth is actually a faster clock than assemble the legion. Now, the thing to think about is that assemble the legion would be harder to kill, but I think that Elspeth Sun's champion might just be better.
I mean, that late in the game, your opponent either has a lot of cards or they have no cards, right? So I think
Elspeth is also more utility.
It does, yeah. I mean, the fact that it can be like a board wipe is really great. I don't know. I think that's very tough.
Yeah, I was really excited about this. I was like, man, I can't believe Assemble Legion hasn't seen Modern play for like grindy matchups. But in the end, it might be, as we've already seen in Modern from other decks.
Well,
that Elspeth could be better.
Right. And I mean, things like Bitter Blossom do exist, which happen on turn two. Different colors is fine.
Ifro Poker's Ant List seems pretty sweet. Hashtag would be good. I actually don't know what this list is that he's talking about, but he has a bunch of what look like Mentor tokens in play. Is this Vintage?
Five lands and a top?
Is this Vintage?
What is happening?
Because, like, his graveyard, what is his graveyard of? This is Ben Williams, by the way, one of the longtime listeners of the show. I'm going to try and pull it up so I can see the graveyard.
Sure.
So when I'm looking at this graveyard, I see like Lion's Eye Diamond, Ponder, Brainstorm, Duress, Lotus Petal, another Lion's Eye Diamond, more Lotus Petals, Monastery Mentors, Abrupt Decay. This has to be Vintage. Like, I don't know what format this is. I've never seen Ifro's list, but you have five colors of mana in play, and that's sweet. Is it Epic Storm? That could be what's happening. Because Epic Storm is five colors. Let us know what... Ship us a link to the deck list, Ben, and then I can look at it and give you a little bit more of a opinion on it. Next up, we have one of our overseas listeners. Marianne McDonald says, swinging for nine with Scythe Leopard, hashtag FNM, hashtag would that be good?
Applause. That's beautiful.
What happened?
Yeah, how did that happen?
So you're so active on this. So fetch land is three, right? Then if we play, and so that gets us to three. And then if we play an Atargus command where you play an extra land.
Maybe like a Tiber Battle Rage? No. Man, I don't even know. No, because that
specifically would, nine. I don't know the color combination, but nine. Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
hashtag that would be good.
Be amazing.
Also, did you win?
Duh.
Obviously.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she got it. She got that one.
Also, she probably won FNM because, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do here at Constructive Criticism.
Winners only.
And people trying to improve.
Aspiring winners.
Aspiring as well. FNM champions. Top eight creatures that tutor. Spencer drops Mike. See what's on this list?
At the Witch Kling.
And you see why I tagged Matt Kling?
Let me see.
So at number 8, we have Academy Rocker. Oh, yeah. At number 7, we have Lin Sivi. At number 6, we have Solemn Simulacrum. At number 5, we have Squadron Hawk. At number 4, we have Manny's most underrated card that he doesn't know was actually really, really good. It was Knight of the Reliquary. At number 3, we have probably the card that should be at number 1 in Goblin Recruiter, as that card is actually broken, as it makes you stack your deck. Do you know what Goblin Recruiter does? So for those who don't, it's 2 mana for a 2/1 that when it enters the battlefield, search your library for any number of goblins and put them on top of your deck in any order.
AKA cheating.
Yeah, you just cheat.
Yeah.
And then at number 2, we have Stoneforge Mystic.
And
at number 1,
yeah,
we have Primeval Titan.
Yeah, your very favorite card in the whole wide universe.
That's not true. Lotus Cover is my favorite card.
Oh, right. That's just not playable.
It also doesn't do this.
Yeah, I mean...
So suck it, Matt Kling. That's it for hashtag. Would that be good? Shout outs, Manny?
Shout out to Kyle. Thanks a lot for playing those modern games with me. I really had a lot of fun. I hope we can do it again soon.
Shout out to Andrew Walden for doing limited time only with me. Great episode last night. I really enjoyed it. I love doing that podcast a lot. But another huge shout out to the listener of the podcast. I mean, the Facebook group has been awesome. And the support that you guys give us is great, and it means a lot to us. So
yeah, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Another announcement that I can announce this week. So we'll end the podcast with an announcement. We have another reoccurring guest host coming on the show.
Oh my gosh, who is it?
His name is Casey Bloodworth.
He's like my third favorite person in the world.
So Casey will be coming on specifically for a very specific type of training grounds, and that being specific training grounds. So what Casey's going to join the show to do from now on will be every time we do something on a very specific topic, like blocking, attacking, playing removal brainstorm, spells. Playing removal spells, playing counter spells, sequencing against wrath effects, things that are very narrow, Casey will come on because the topic is a very small topic, so it's better. Not only is it better to have three people, but Casey has a lot to say about those.
He does. He's got a like a Dustin Hoffman Rain Man type of focus on
and
that.
And those podcasts specifically also don't target the kind of audience that those target everyone, right? Yeah, everyone can get better at that. Everybody can learn those things and have an opinion on those and learn from others. And so whether you're trying to win your FNM or trying to qualify for the Pro Tour, you're going to learn something from those episodes, and Casey's happy enough to come back on the show as a reoccurring guest host on those shows. So shout out to Casey, and we'll see you guys all next week.
Yeah. See you next week.
Always better than magic.